Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Hey guys, the holiday season is here and so are the new Heshi socks. Their brand new products are available for purchase right now on their website. Heshi has added invisible liner socks with cushioned soles and non-slip gel inserts. They've added more fashion socks and colors. They've added more basics and they've just released a collection from Bassmaster world champion Mike Iaconelli. I promise you, you will not find a more comfortable pair of socks for work shoes, boots, or sneakers. Any friend of this podcast who has purchased these socks can attest to their greatness. I wear them all the time. For those of you who are new to the podcast and haven't jumped on board yet, what are you waiting for? If you're tired of your feet hurting in shoes after a long day of work, go to HeshiSocks.com. You will no longer suffer from this problem. Most socks are expensive, poorly constructed, and they provide zero protection. Not Heshi socks. For under $10 a pair with our promo code, you can get the most comfortable socks you will ever own. They're cushioned in the heel, foot, and toe. They have arch support in the center so your feet don't slosh around in your shoes. They have antimicrobial properties so your feet don't stink. And best of all, they're designed to stay up so you don't have to tug up at your socks all day long. So whether you need socks for yourself, your secret Santa, your stocking stuffers, or just a kick-ass life, go to HeshiSocks.com. That's HeshiSocks.com. Enter the promo code PROBLEM30 and you will get 30% off your entire order. HeshiSocks.com, heaven for your feet. All right, let's start the show.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders.
If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now. Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
What's up, motherfuckers? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I am the libertarian Tupac, the most consistent motherfucker you know, and he is the king of the caucus, Robbie the Fire Bernstein. How are you living today, sir?
Doing pretty good, man. Wednesday episode, getting after it.
That's right. I like that. On the Wednesday ones, we always get after it. Monday, we phone it in. Friday, we're pretty much drunk the whole time.
Yeah, but week's
Wednesday,
over.
We step things up and we tell you what you need to know. Every other Wednesday, it's like, whatever, Rob's got AIDS, something doesn't work out right. But we're good for two Wednesday shows a month that really knock it out of the park. And that's what you guys keep tuning in for. That's what you trust us for. And that's what we will continue to deliver. Okay, so there are some things happening in the world, as is always the case recently. Looks like Trump has come a step closer to conceding. The presidency has not officially conceded. I'm not holding my breath. I don't think he will, and that's kind of great. But the Trump administration has formally acknowledged the transition and is allowing the transition. And Joe Biden is now able to see classified information. His people can meet with Trump's people. So it's
whoever formally acknowledged, hopefully, is just the next person to get fired.
I mean, it wouldn't be shocking at this point. But what I have seen from, you know, putting my finger on the pulse of the interwebs, it seems like a lot of people, a lot of Trump supporters, even the ones who were, really adamant that he would be victorious in court, are starting to acknowledge that there's a possibility that Joe Biden is going to be president by the end of January.
Is he going to end up looking like a sore loser because he hasn't come up with anything? I mean,
well, to
at what point? Yeah.
To a lot of people, he will. I mean, there's no scenario here where he doesn't look like a sore loser to a lot of people and look like a victim of a conspiracy to a lot of other people. So it's that's interesting to see kind of. But the question is more, it's not a binary. It's where exactly the numbers are. You know, 40% of people see him as the victim of a conspiracy, or to only 20% see him. It's so that's kind of where we're at with this. I'm sure that many people are looking at it from both perspectives. I would just say that I think it's good that some Trump supporters feel however you feel about what happened in the election. And you know, I understand that, you know, obviously Trump supporters are going to be very upset over what happened, but it's very good to deal in reality. And if, as I was saying in the previous episode, if you believe that there's this vast conspiracy that took down Donald Trump, then, you know, what are the odds really that he's going to get justice through that conspiracy's court system? You know, it's like this is, you know, the reality here is that Joe Biden, given and to be clear, I don't know to what degree there's a conspiracy. There's certainly a conspiracy against Donald Trump since before he got elected. But given the entire establishment being behind Joe Biden, if Trump wanted to see a second term, he couldn't allow it to get to this point. It's going to be very hard to fight your way back when the entire establishment is against you. And as many have seen, even a good portion of the Republicans are against Donald Trump, probably the majority of them. And so that's, you know, that's where we're at now. But it's a really interesting time. And it's really interesting time on the right wing, particularly, and the left wing as well. I mean, look, since 2016, right, this is something we've talked about a lot. In the 2016 primaries in the presidential election, you had civil wars on both the Republican and Democratic sides. You know, so I use the term being a bit hyperbolic, but, you know, the Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton thing really represented a split amongst the Democrats of what direction you want to go in. And obviously the Trump campaign represented a huge split. Now, Trump won in dominant fashion. You know, Bernie Sanders lost with some, you know, shadiness going on. But now what you have is the Republicans have lost the White House. And, you know, it's like, okay, so now their representatives are basically the Republican establishment, except that's not the base at all. The base liked Trump. And on the Democrat side, you know, you have these super progressives divided up to some degree between the economic, you know, progressives and the crazy woke people. And there's a Venn diagram there. They overlap to some degree. And then you have the people who actually got in, which is Joe Biden, as you can already see who he's putting in his cabinet. It's just the establishment of the establishment. And so it's going to be interesting to see how all of this shakes out. It's a very tumultuous situation. Does not seem to lend itself toward smooth order. So we'll enjoy the show, I suppose, as it keeps going. I don't discount anything in terms of, as I was saying before, the conspiracy against Donald Trump. I have no idea how widespread voter fraud was. As you pointed out a second ago, Rob, it's not as if we've been presented with really compelling evidence that this is how the conspiracy worked to take the election away from Donald Trump. There have been complaints of poll watchers. There's been some statistical anomalies that people have pointed to in the voting machines. There were some shady things that were done, but I don't know. I don't know exactly what, you know, the reality of the situation is. But I am not at all closed off to the you know, idea that there was a conspiracy to take down Donald Trump, because there's been a conspiracy to take down Donald Trump, as I said, since before he got elected. And that's just a fact. That shit, that's just, anyone paying attention knows that this shit is true. And that's not something that Trump supporters say. That's just something that honest people who are paying attention say. Glenn Greenwald and you know, Aaron Mattei and Jimmy Dore, and these people are not Trump supporters. They're leftists who despise Donald Trump. But they'll all tell you that, you know, this was obviously a coordinated effort to bring Trump down for years. So why wouldn't they, you know, try something in the election? So that's just my, you know, I'm in a state of open-minded ignorance, more or less, about the whole situation with the election, which open-minded ignorance, that's the name of my next album. Anyway, there is something I will say. There have been, let's call them maybe right-wing conspiracies that I have laughed at in the past that I look back at now with a little bit more of like, maybe they were on to something. I mean, I remember, I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but I don't give a shit. But I remember when the idea of legalizing gay marriage was losing, when it was unpopular, you know, is some 40 something percent maybe of the country supported it during, say, like the George W. Bush days and the beginning of Obama when he was against it and Hillary Clinton was against it and Joe Biden was against it, and, you know, right until it got popular. And there were conservatives who would say, if you legalize gay marriage, you normalize it in the culture, and then they're going to come after the children. And I remember just laughing at this. Like, this was the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life. What a retarded idea. Just because two gay dudes can get married, that doesn't mean that they're going to be trying to convince fucking children to do some weird shit. Like, where do you even get that from? It was insane. But, you know, I have to acknowledge that they legalized gay marriage, and like within the decade, 7-year-olds being allowed to transition genders is like a thing that we're talking about. That Joe Biden, the president-elect, and who is looks like going to be the president of the United States on January 20th, was asked at a CNN town hall about what he thinks about 7-year-olds transitioning. And he said, absolutely, we have to be for that.
It's easiest to do things when you're young, so you might as well get it done nice and early when you're still flexible and your brain is loose.
You can't teach an old trans new tricks. but so it's quite a change, right, from, say, Barack Obama in 2008 coming in. If he was asked about gay marriage, he would say, no, I'm a Christian and I believe marriage is between a man and a woman. To now, the next Democratic president going, oh yeah, 7-year-olds should totally be able to transition their gender. And in fact, you're a bad person if you even have questions about that. Now that is, again, I'm not saying everything about the right-wing conspiracy about this was true, but it's hard to look back at it and not go, oh, maybe they were onto something. Now, I that doesn't mean I'm against gay marriage or anything like that, but it's hard to look back at it and say, well, you know, it doesn't feel quite as crazy as it felt back then when they were saying also, it and I was dismissing them as crazy.
Maybe a simple initiative to try out makeup and high heels first. Just, you know, make sure that you're into it before you start making the real augmentations.
What Rob's trying to say is dip your toe into the pool. Gauge the temperature. Don't just cannonball into transitioning genders. There's the advice. But, you know, again, it's like I know there are these forces, these kind of political correctness forces around everyone that even when I start talking about this, I go like, oh, fuck, I know I'll get in trouble for this. But what good are any of us? What good are any of us if you can't just say, yes, I think that's insane. I think the idea of 7-year-olds taking hormone blockers is fucking insane. And it's child abuse. And like, you know, if you can't be against that, what's the point of even opening your mouth about anything? Anyway, one of the other right-wing conspiracies that I used to laugh at quite a bit was the war on Christmas. Do you remember ever hearing about this? So this
didn't
was like
it
a
to
Fox,
the Jewish schools.
Yeah, well, this was like a Fox News talking point through the Obama years and probably even before that, that there was a war on Christmas. Democrats hated Christmas, and this is why they wanted to replace Merry Christmas with Happy Holidays and, you know, things like this. And they wanted to fight about Christmas trees being put up in front of state buildings and stuff like this. And, you know, this, and it was always just so stupid. It's like, what are you guys talking about? No one's taking your Christmas away from you. Okay, relax. No Democrat is here to take your Christmas away from you. Well, here we are in 2020, and the Democrats are literally saying we want to take Christmas away from you. So I understand things have changed. I'm not saying they were exactly right there, but it's hard for me to not look back at something that I was mocking and go, huh, maybe there was a little something to it, as I am watching the Democrats basically, like, now is the appropriate time to say, yes, in fact, there is a war on the holiday season. Literally, no, not like a war on Christmas, not like a this abstract they're going after terms, more like the war on drugs, more like the fucking governors are telling you it's illegal and they're threatening you with the power of the state if you commit the crime of spending the holidays with your family. And this is one of the reasons why I think it's one of the reasons why I'm a libertarian, but I'm taken a little bit more seriously by right wingers than most libertarians are. And I'm also seen as a lot more evil by left libertarians than most libertarians are. And I think part of the reason, I mean, if you really look at what I believe in, I mean, I believe in human liberty for everyone. I'm the most libertarian you could be. I'm a fucking anarchist. I mean, like, it's not really policies that they can ever look to. It's just the fact that I've kind of woken up to some cultural issues that right wingers make fair points on. And so when you talk about what's gone on over the last year, you can talk about it from the position of, like, this is a violation of freedom. And it's a violation of freedom on, like, the most profound basic levels. We've never really seen anything like this before, where, people are being told by their governments that they can't go to work, that they can't see their family, all this shit. And I was arguing with someone on one or two back and forths on social media the other day. And some libertarian said to me, which I understand the libertarian mind as I am one, and I understand the libertarian philosophy, you know, pretty well. And someone said to me, he goes, this is nothing new. I mean, people have been thrown in cages for smoking pot, you know? So the idea of the government cracking down on freedom. And I remember thinking to myself simultaneously, while on some level of libertarian philosophy, you are correct, that smoking pot is, you know, it's your body, it's a plant, you bought it voluntarily, you didn't initiate violence against anybody, and the state is coming in here and throwing someone in jail for having this plant. So obviously it's a violation of freedom. I'm completely against it. I think it's horrible and has had horrible impacts, horrible, you know, outcomes. But I also think you got to be a really certain type of autistic, you know, libertarian to really think there's not a difference between outlawing Thanksgiving and outlawing pot. And one of the things that's really different about it is that this is an attack on normal, productive people. Like, look, not saying there aren't normal, productive people who smoke pot. There certainly are. But if you're going to say drugs are illegal, there's going to be a whole lot of normal people who will be like, well, yeah, you know, drugs are bad for you. And we don't really want a society of people smoking crack and doing heroin and do this. And then you argue, you know, there's like the milquetoast libertarians who argue about pot. Okay, it's a stronger argument, I suppose, to normies. But if you talk about like hard drugs, most people are like, well, yeah, but we don't want people doped out. You know what I mean? Like, that's not good for society. Those people are throwing their lives away. And libertarians, it's our job to convince them why the war on drugs is a failure and drug laws in general are wrong and lead to bad outcomes and are evil and all of this shit. But you'd be crazy to not see something different about a war on going to work, a war on celebrating the holidays with your family than doing drugs. Because like you may not see any difference between that, but guess who does? Normal people. Normal people do see a difference in those things. And because of course they're very different. And so if we're like blind to that, if we can't connect with a normal person and go, okay, yeah, no, I do understand how like doing heroin is kind of like destructive behavior, but seeing your family for Thanksgiving is like very normal, like positive behavior. If you can't connect on that level, then you're never going to persuade anybody and you're never going to be able to talk to them. And you're also just kind of blind to a lot of shit that's real life. You know, the truth is, and this is what it is, what most right wingers will call cringe about the kind of libertine libertarians, the kind of left leaning, the woke libertarians, whatever you want to call them, is that they want to celebrate somebody dropping acid in the park and getting laid as much as they want to celebrate someone for starting a family and going to work every day. And okay, you have a right to do both, and I'll fight for your freedom to do both, you know? But I don't have to celebrate them equally, because one of them does basically nothing for anyone except yourself, and the other one is how we keep civilization going. And particularly once you have kids, you have an interest in keeping civilization going. So we all get to live in at the standard of life that we have, and the standard of living, the quality of life that we have. We all get to exist in this society because, you know, electrical grids are put up, you know, water lines are maintained, people are farming food, producing food, people are shipping stuff around on trucks and planes, and, you know, like, there's a whole lot of work, just really hard work that has to happen. And also because people have had kids and families throughout the ages to continue the population. These things are important and they're necessary to keep a normal civilization going. If everybody was just dropping acid all the time, you have a fucking nightmare of a civilization. But if everybody's having families and working, you can have a very flourishing, healthy civilization. So it makes sense that we celebrate one and not the other. And this is straight up an attack. This last year has been an attack on normal people, on people who don't want to do something nefarious, don't want to do something that a large percentage of the population would agree maybe should be outlawed. These are people who want to fucking go to work. They want to go to work so they can provide for their families. And if libertarians can't connect to those people, we have no hope. We have no hope of ever being a serious movement, of ever persuading people or moving the ball or moving the needle, you know. And so I think that's something that's important to do. This year has been, it's funny because there's like, you know, like we were talking about last week when Bill Maher kept going off about the QAnon conspiracy guys. And there's a lot of talk about conspiracy theories, and there's the people who have the conspiracy, the Great Reset. Have you heard about that, Rob? It's a term that a lot of politicians have used, and you know, people are jumping on the idea that this is something that was planned, that and that this is their, or even if not planned, they're using this as the opportunity to remake society. And you see a lot of weird shit. I'm not saying that's not true. I think it probably is. And you see there's this creepy thing where you see like Build Back Better has, like, this phrase has been uttered by politicians and corporate leaders all around the world. They're all saying build back better. And I'm always very suspicious when all of them just start using the same term. You know, this shit is weird. But for most people who know this show, I don't really dive deep into the conspiracies. I'm not saying that it's not valuable, but there's other people who do it who are better at it than me, and let them do it, you know? Like, go listen to those guys' shows. Some of them, there's a range of people who are really goofy and jump at anything, and then some people who are pretty sound and do really good research. And, you know, that's fine. I think it's an important role. But what I like to focus on, what I like to focus on is the conspiracies that are just in plain sight. And there's no, like, you know, right now there's a war on the holidays. This is just fucking happening. Like, if you want to look at the Great Reset, well, look at what this year has been. This year has been the largest transfer of wealth from the middle class to the corporate class in the history of humanity. What do you really need? Like, how much do you need to dig into some conspiracy that may or may not be true? I don't know what's in everybody's minds. I don't know how coordinated this is, but look at what they've done this year. They're destroying small businesses all throughout the country. They're bailing out corporate interests. They're bailing out the big banks. The big internet companies, have all of their stocks have gone through the roof. You know, Amazon is fucking killing it this year. Billions of dollars, more in value than they had last year. The stock market is going through the roof. The stock market just hit an all-time high, right? So the stock market's doing great. Amazon's doing great. The tech companies are doing great. The big banks are doing great. Joe Biden's back in. I'm sure the fucking, weapons companies are going to be doing great. And who's getting destroyed? Well, it's the middle class, AKA regular people. So understand that if there is going to be any movement that's even somewhat in the direction of libertarianism, it's going to be by connecting with regular people and understanding what's happening to them. And one of the things that regular people like to do is have dinner with their family on Thanksgiving, is to open presents with their children on Christmas. This is what regular people in America, normal, productive people, the kind you need to run a society, this is what they like to do. And I think it's great. It's great that they like to do that. And after this year, where so many people have just been fucked over and lost their livelihoods, lost family members, there's so many millions of Americans whose lives are at a drastically worse place than they were a year ago. It's kind of important for them to have a normal Thanksgiving. And now this is what the government is coming after. And it's truly disgusting. All right, guys, let's take a quick second. I want to thank our awesome sponsor for today's show, which is Infinite CBD. I'm thrilled to have them back on the show because I need more of that Freezing Point topical cream that they send me. That stuff is the best. If you're active, if you run, if you work out, you have any type of muscle pain, go try Infinite CBD's Freezing Point topical cream. It's the best thing for muscle pain I've ever used in my life. They also have a Freezing Point stick, which is basically the same stuff, but you move the stick around and you kind of massage out the sore muscles. Really incredible stuff. I mean, I used it when I had the pinched nerve last year and my neck and shoulder were killing me. My father-in-law has used it leading up to his knee surgeries. Both of us were like, this thing is a miracle. You got to go check it out. They also have a bunch of other products. Infinite CBD is a longtime sponsor of the network. They have the best CBD products on the market. They do everything in-house to maintain high quality. They have the most cost-effective prices on the market. They were even ranked the number one CBD company by herb.co. Infinite CBD has a wide range of products, including gummies, lube, nano products. Again, my personal favorite is the Freezing Point topical cream. Check them out at infinitecbd.com. And if you use the promo code POTP, you'll get 30% off your order for the holidays instead of just the normal 20% off. So one more time, that's infinitecbd.com, promo code POTP for 30% off throughout the holiday season. All right, let's get back into the show. Have you seen any of the stuff Cuomo's been saying?
Well, I saw that he got an Emmy. Apparently, yes,
he sure did.
Unbelievable at getting people to panic and, turning a disaster into a tool for self-promotion.
Why did he get an Emmy? Is it because he was on TV so much? Is that the...
I think it was... all right, I'm not going to get their turn of phrase right, but it was excellence in communicating, disaster news to people or something along those lines. It was expert in government
communication. Emmys are for TV, right?
Yeah, and he was on TV daily doing his briefings, and he got an Emmy for his briefings.
So he's going to get an Oscar next. They're going to be like, did you see him? He was so great in that role of that guy who was murdering seniors in nursing homes. He'd be like, that wasn't a movie. That he did that. Well, he was convincing. I really believed he killed grandmas. It's so fucking creepy, right? So weird. The guy who handled it the worst.
Yeah. I don't understand how he fills that much time on a daily basis. It's like, how much resources are going into these charts that just on a daily basis, he can sit down for a full hour and tell you just I mean, the amount of work that would take.
Well, Rob, maybe you just don't appreciate great acting on TV.
I guess, yeah.
Well, here, let's play the first clip. This was from last week. Here is Andrew Cuomo earning that Emmy.
Number went right up. I've said this 150 times. It's going to happen because it's human behavior. I hear it with my own family. Be smart. I get it. I understand it. It's wrong. It's wrong. My advice on Thanksgiving, don't be a turkey. You don't want to be the turkey on Thanksgiving. You know what love is on Thanksgiving? I love you so much, and I'm so thankful for you, that I'm not going to see you. That's how you show me you love me. I'm not going to see you. That's how much I love you.
All right. So just because you can't make this shit up in 2020, if you really just want to be angry, because this is the reality of what we're living in, Cuomo did let people know today that he's having Thanksgiving with his family, including his elderly mother, of course, right? Because fuck the rest of us. They're the fucking ruling class. So this obviously doesn't apply to them. So he will be having Thanksgiving. So he is being a turkey and not really showing his love to his fucking family. But this is the type of shit, and this will win you an Emmy. This is the type of shit, after destroying so many people's lives, killing so many people, they're going to sit there and say, oh, and you can't have the holidays. And then, oh my God, the fucking nerve. Like, you have to be talked to as if like he's a kindergarten teacher. Like, genuinely, right? Like, in the manner a kindergarten teacher would talk to their class. Don't be a turkey. You know what love is? Like, shut the fuck up. My God. I'm not, for legal purposes, I'm not saying I want to see him publicly hung. But I can understand why people want to see him publicly hung. Do you think that's okay? I'll check with my legal team after that. I think I'm on safe ground there.
It's a comedy show. We're just saying things.
This is all comedy and satire, obviously. But like, let's say someone were to say, I want to see Andrew Cuomo publicly hung. And they were like, I'm putting together the plans to make this happen. I would understand why that person was motivated to feel and act the way they are. Totally wrong, but I get it.
Butter him up. Like, yes. That episode where Kramer sits on the roof too long.
Oh, by the way, I was looking. Yeah, there you go. I was looking the other day because, of course, and this is the chart I had was for New York City, but this is really something. I like to look at the deaths from COVID. I think that is the best, it's the safest science when you're looking at someone who's actually died. And you can get into some debates about how we're recording COVID deaths and things like that. But at least when someone's dead, you're like, okay, that's a thing. Someone died from this. Let's look at the chart for New York City deaths. This is, by the way, what's going on while they're telling people you can't even have your Thanksgiving. Fucking, months and months and months after they fucking, first asked people to give up everything about their lives. These are citywide deaths from COVID. And you can see this is pretty much the state around the country. It's like, okay, yeah, it went up. Now, if you really, really look carefully here in November, you can see it barely registers, but there's this like slight little uptick, but we are nowhere near where we were. And the justification for shutting everything down was that we didn't want to overwhelm the hospitals. The hospitals, of course, were never overwhelmed. There is no threat to hospitals being overwhelmed right now. This is, to me, it's almost impossible to imagine that they are doing this genuinely out of trying to control this virus. They are right now, and this is really freaky, but this is what's going on. They want to take this away from people. And I don't know exactly what their motivation is, but it's the only thing that makes any sense, is that they actually want they actually want people to not have a normal holidays. And it's really fucking, it's...
What's the advantage? They want people more miserable, or they want to break up families? Like, what's the big long-term advantage of...
Well, they're certainly exerting a tremendous amount of authority and government control.
It's probably, and now you're going with, I guess they really want to incentivize vaccine usage once the vaccine's available. And so I guess they probably don't want the world to normalize in any way except through the vaccine. Now, as to whether that's corporate profits or there's something more nefarious to that vaccine, which I'm not saying, but I can understand. To me, the most straightforward incentive of keeping life miserable is to be able to say, well, here's the thing that's going to leave it, which will, I guess, lock in those profits or whatever other incentives they have. You might be able to make the argument, and this is the great reset, that as they try and, I guess, gear the world for more socialism and more control, so they want to break up family structure, they want you relying on government checks, they want it to be a new normal where they can tell you can just be in your house and kind of like live under this guise of fear, which is all potentially possible. I just think that's a little bit harder to coordinate amongst all these branches of government. But
I get what you're saying. I do think that, you know, this system is really unsustainable. And I think that a lot of these people, or maybe not people like Cuomo, is just utterly unimpressive. But the people, you know, who kind of like really have the power and authority, like the fucking huge corporate donors, you know what I mean? Some of these people, I think, know that this system is unsustainable in the same way that me and you know that it's kind of doomed to collapse. And I think it's quite possible that they want as much control and authority as possible for when that moment comes. I also think that they realize that it is a process to get people to accept everything that they've accepted this year, and it has to be done incrementally. But man, they really have done quite a bit.
I want to point out his thing of, if you love them, don't see them. When this thing's said and over, my grandfather's like still alive, but barely. There's going to be nothing to visit. I'm just saying, even if he's still alive, like, this has been a bad year. And it's like you said with your kid, that sometimes like you don't get those times back. You also don't get those end of year, like when people go from slightly dementia to full dementia, like that year's a lifetime. That's it. It's like, you're not, the guy's not there anymore. Like, so I don't know that it's that well thought out, this idea of, well, if you love him, don't see them.
Yeah. Oh, come on. I mean, it's the most absurd thing ever. Do you love your family? Don't spend time with them. I mean, that's not really how people who love people operate. You love someone, you want to spend time with them. And as I was saying, whether it's with, young people or old people or whatever, time is precious. Time is, you know what I mean? Time is a scarce resource.
I hope his daughter gets to see her state trooper boyfriend. Did you see that news story?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Firstly, that guy was gorgeous. And he's just in the government mansion railing him out. And so he shipped her. He shipped the guy to like the north of Canada.
yeah, I saw that. Now, so one of the things that I thought was interesting and kind of a silver lining to all of this is that there's been several sheriffs in New York who have flat out said that they will not enforce Cuomo's banning of Thanksgiving.
Well, that's why you need a gulag. That's why you need an SS type thing. That someone that works direct.
Well,
you can't just try and go through the police.
It's something that like libertarian conspiracy theorists, and I guess conspiracy theorists in general, have thought about for a long time, is the idea of like, if the United States of America government ever went totalitarian or genocidal, like worst case scenario, you know, would the cops and the military enforce it? And largely this year has kind of proven they'll enforce a lot. You know, we don't know what the worst they would do, but they will enforce a lot. But it's an interesting idea, right? Like these people who do swear an oath to the Constitution, which still does have the Bill of Rights in it. And, you know, I guess they don't technically swear an oath to the Declaration of Independence, but, you know, that is still... Everyone still kind of likes it. Even Joe Biden attempted to quote it during the campaign, failed miserably, but he was, you know the thing. And would some of them be like, no, like this is not what America is, you know? And so it's kind of nice to see at least some sheriffs being like, yeah, look, I'm sorry, this is a bridge too far. Shutting down someone's business is one thing, but telling them where grandma can stand or sit at Thanksgiving dinner is like, that's, I'm not going to enforce that. So there have been several people, several sheriffs, I think somewhere between like 7 to 10 or something like that, who have said they're just straight up not going to enforce it.
There was a video, I think it was in Buffalo, where cops and some health lady.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that video?
Yeah.
So just if people didn't see it, the great moment was basically they kick her out and they say, if you're coming in here, you need a warrant. This is private property. You got to get out. And the lady's getting really frustrated at one point, like, because she can't even comprehend it. She goes, yeah, but this is COVID. This is different. And they go, well, in what way is this different? We've got civil liberties. And you need a warrant. Like, why would this? And it was interesting how calm the cops were and that they actually left.
Yeah.
But that moment.
Did,
yeah.
They did end up leaving. They all came back the next day and shot all those people. But no, I'm just kidding. But they probably will come back and attempt to ruin them, because this video has gone super viral. There's millions and millions of people have watched it. And it was a really interesting video. Like, one of the guys straight up, you know, they said that, they go, you're not wearing a mask. And he goes, so arrest me then. And like, yeah, it was just like these people ready to fight, ready to resist, which is really what we need. It's really what we need in this country right now. And the point you were making about the cops, you know, I just saw the look on the cops' face. It just seemed to me like they were ashamed, and they should be. Like, here you are, you're harassing some business owner over nothing. You've got this lady with her clipboard, and they're sitting there telling you, and they kept saying, they're like, you're on private property and you've been asked to leave. You're trespassing now. Then eventually they do fucking leave, and they're all chanting at him, and it was glorious. It was a great little moment. Now, of course, they'll probably come back and ruin those people. But there's got to be a line where people start to resist. And I'm not saying you have to go out on your shield and sacrifice your life. I don't think that's, you know, a good idea unless you really have to. But I really hope people have a fucking normal Thanksgiving and a normal Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate.
You know, I had an interesting experience when they were doing the what are the census, when the census lady came into like my building. All of my neighbors just hilariously yelled it at the lady and then slammed the door in her face. And
really?
Yeah, all of them, which I just thought, because it was funny. She knocked on my, I'm like, shit, I got to talk to this lady. And I didn't feel comfortable doing that. But then I heard both my neighbors do that. I was like, oh, that was an option. I could have just yelled and slammed the door.
What were they yelling at her?
I don't know what those people are up to, but they were just like, fuck you, government. Like, I don't care. Get the fuck out of my hallway. I'm not answering questions about the neighbors, which I just thought was like, awesome that everyone, you know, I don't even know my neighbors. I don't think they're libertarians, but I just thought that was awesome that they were like, you're the government, fuck you, coming here asking questions.
Yeah.
But it was funny because that lady had this feeling of like, why are you yelling at me? And she didn't even know how to answer what they were saying, because they're like, this is different because it's COVID. I at least like that there's a general flavor that everyone's like, no, this is my house, fuck you, I don't want to deal with you. And yeah, then also that lady did not, like, you know what I mean? It was such a like a red pill moment for her. Like, wait a second, I don't have this authority. Like, yeah, why am I being yelled at? I'm on team government. I thought I'm the good guy here.
Oh yeah, no, that is fucking wonderful. It's a great story to hear. But this to me is why I was saying that there might be some real tangible benefits to Trump not being the president. I think like what we need is a real resistance in this country. And I like to see just kind of it black and white. Government are the bad guys. Resisting government, you're the good guys. Not this fucking bullshit Democrat resistance, which is like, we, you know, the honorable men and women of the CIA would never lie. And that's why, you know, Donald Trump's a dictator for, you know, withdrawing troops from a region. Oh, and yes, of course. Speaking of just upside down world, right? Like how fucking hard this shit is to believe. We're like, loving your family, there's no better way to show that than not seeing them on the holidays, right? So here is Cuomo responding to the sheriffs who said they won't enforce his Thanksgiving regulations.
I believe that law enforcement officer violates his or her constitutional duty. I don't consider them a law enforcement officer, because you don't have the right to pick laws that you think you will enforce and you don't enforce laws that you don't agree with, right? That's not a law enforcement officer. That's a dictator.
A dictator is the person who decides,
right,
he doesn't want to.
So, yeah, sorry, thank you, Ben Shapiro. It's the only That's where I found the clip on his show. YouTube thinks I really love Ben Shapiro. They are always recommend. Like, I just open up YouTube and they're like, you're probably in the mood for some Ben Shapiro, right? I'm like, I haven't watched Ben Shapiro in months. Okay. Anyway, that to me is like the most Orwellian thing I've ever heard in my life. Like, that's straight up war is peace talk. How do you even respond to that? You're not a police officer. You're a dictator. What gives you the right? Imagine Cuomo saying you're a dictator and pondering what gives you the right to not enforce my dictates. First of all, by the way, he's just technically, legally wrong. It's not a law. There is not a law. There's no law against Thanksgiving gatherings. Nothing has been written by the legislator. There's an executive action which he decreed against it, but there's no law about it. And I'm sorry, he's saying it's unconstitutional. Their argument is that he has issued an unconstitutional executive order. Now, he could respond if he wanted to by saying, no, it is constitutional for me to issue this executive order, and here's why. Here's the constitutional argument. But he doesn't want to do that because he has nothing, because you can't even make a constitutional argument that the governors have the right to tell you whether or not grandma can come over to your house. There is no constitutional authority for Andrew Cuomo to dictate what love is or who a fucking turkey is, okay? So he doesn't even go there. He just says, well, you're being a dictator. You're not even a police officer anymore. Think about that. It's the most fucking Orwellian thing I've ever heard in my life, that you would call the cop who won't enforce rules about what you can do in your own home on the holidays, you would call that cop a dictator for refusing to enforce those rules. Hasn't this always been the great fear of dictatorship? That things could get really out of control and they could let people celebrate the holidays. Man, that is fucking bizarre. Oof. Man. And it's just something to see this guy writing a book and getting an Emmy and being treated this way after just destroying his fucking state. He's done a worse job than any other governor in the country. Maybe Gavin Newsom gives him a run for his money or something, but he's done, in terms of COVID deaths, he's the worst. Anyway, it's a weird world that we're living in. And so, all right, go ahead.
It's a somewhat interesting, I guess conceptually, yes, government picking and choosing what they enforce essentially creates lawlessness. And I would say the best example is kind of what you saw with Flynn, that they enforced some law that they've never enforced ever before. And all of a sudden this guy's going to jail for it. That's called picking and choosing, where you put enough laws on the books that everyone's in trouble all the time, but you just mostly don't enforce them. And so Cuomo's right that there is a little bit of a framework that if you kind of pick and choose what we do and don't enforce, then that's not really laws. That to me is lawlessness. But in this case, not enforcing an action, that's more like if you write the shit and then you kind of selectively decide who you're going to enforce that action on. Like if you were to say, like, nobody can go, no one can go to the park, right? No. And then all of a sudden it was just enforced on Jews, then that's lawlessness, because you're selectively choosing where you enforce the action. And that's not what the law is. This is functioning a little bit different, where they're strictly not enforcing something.
Right. But in your example, the issue wouldn't be not enforcing the law on Christians. The issue there is enforcing the law on Jews. Yeah. The issue with Flynn is not that they didn't enforce the law with him, is that they enforced a law, or they thought about enforcing a law that they never use on anybody. So the idea here of Cuomo, the guy who's issuing these executive orders, him complaining about them not being enforced, and that's the issue with dictatorship. Well, no, the issue is that he can come up with whatever he wants to and enforce it when he chooses to. And this is somebody who is really drunk off authority, that he's outraged that someone would not do as he dictates, and calling them a dictator, just total fucking mind fucker. Anyway, I do think there is, as I was saying before and saying last episode, I think there is some value to the resistance being reformed now under Joe Biden. And I do think the resistance is going to be somewhat fierce, and not as not fierce in the stupid juvenile way that the left wingers have been. Not just like violence and smashing some window on the street, because that's just stupid and evil. But I do think, you know, like having Thanksgiving, fuck the government. I'm having Thanksgiving with my family. I think that's very positive. And I think that one of the things that's going to be really interesting to see now, right, is that you're going to have this instant switch of the entire corporate press being completely on the side of the president. And it's going to be even more drastic than under Obama, because they feel like they, and they do, really need to carry Joe Biden. Joe Biden needs help. Joe Biden is, you know, he's like fucking, you know.
It'll be like when they were pushing Beto O'Rourke, even though he sucked. Everything Biden does is going to suck and be
this
dumb.
This is even, but this is even more than that. This is Weekend at Bernie's style. They have to drag him over, you know, like the over the finish line. So anyway, there was another clip that I saw that gave us a little window into how this is going to start to work. So here is, I believe it was CNN discussing the, or maybe it's NBC. We'll see in a sec. But discussing the Biden administration. It's an MSNBC clip discussing the Biden administration. Same difference.
Talk about Joe Biden's empathy and humanity, to talk about diplomacy being back. It is all an implicit rebuke of Donald Trump's foreign policy stewardship over the last 4 years.
That's right. And in just saying that they're going to do their job and be good stewards of America's role in this world and focus on American diplomacy, that in and of itself, being a rebuke of President Trump is underscores what we've all been living through in the last 4 years, which is a president who wanted to be more isolationist, who wanted to pull back. What we saw today, I was sitting in that room in Wilmington. I was thinking about the fact that Joe Biden, in some ways, first supporters, is fulfilling the promises that he made on the campaign trail. He said he wanted to have a cabinet that looked like America. And there were people there on that stage, of course, talking about all of their different accolades and their experience, but they were also talking about their families who survived the Holocaust, who survived coming from Cuba and fleeing communists, who talked about having gumbo diplomacy, cooking Southern food, as the United Nations ambassador was saying. All of those things are what America is about. It's this melting pot. The other thing I'll just say is I was talking to a Democrat who just said this also felt like the Avengers. It felt like we're being rescued from this craziness that we've all lived through from the last 4 years. And now here are the superheroes to come and save us all.
You know, David Plus.
So there's a little taste of how the media is going to cover Joe Biden. It's really unbelievable that they don't even feel any shame in doing that shit. Like, they don't even feel any shame of like, guys, we just went from being like so highly critical of the president. We got to at least pretend to be news. We got to at least pretend to be somewhat adversarial. It's just like, oh, one person told me they felt like they were superheroes. And I mean, you kind of get where they are, right? I mean, it's just really, he's fulfilling his campaign promises. So many of his campaign promises have been fulfilled. Like, he's not even the president yet. I know, but he's really keeping to his word about, because someone told a story about the fucking being the grandson of a Holocaust survivor. He wasn't even the grandson. It was like his stepdad or something like that survived the Holocaust. So it's like just this ridiculous shit that also doesn't even make sense. They go, it really felt like, you know, his cabinet looked like America, you know, Holocaust survivors, like most of us are. Like, what the fuck? I said this is someone who, that is my family story, but like, what? How does that represent most of America? It's all just so, but it's just this pure propaganda, pure. Like, I mean, if that was state TV, like North Korean style state TV, would it look any different? Would there be any difference in how straight up state run propaganda would be portrayed than that shit? It's the exact same thing. The exact same thing.
The Avengers was all about going to war with third world countries. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's what that franchise was about.
Before
we go on this, hey, we got to get back on the world stage. The world needs us on the world stage. Can we figure out how to not have our country under fucking lockdowns?
Evidently you can't, you know, that's not even possible. I said this on Rogan. I don't know if you guys know, I was on recently on the Joe Rogan Experience. It's not, it's just big deal or anything. It's just the biggest podcast ever created. But anyway, it was, I said at one point where he was, and I get where he's coming from, because he was just going like, yeah, but what if there's like a really awful dictator out there who's just brutalizing his people? And, you know, like we're the ones who are strong enough to do something about it, you know, and like kind of this theoretical, not like any specific war. He's against all the wars, but he's just kind of saying like, what do you do in that situation? And I just said, I go, we have a violent crime problem in Washington, D.C. that they can't even solve. Don't give me this shit about how the politicians are going to go solve the problems of violence in some fucking faraway country that they know nothing about. They didn't even fucking understand that the fucking Sunnis and Shiites wouldn't come together in Iraq after Saddam was deposed. Oh, shit. Look at that. The Shiites are siding with Iran. Who would have thought? Like fucking anyone who knows the region at all? Like just a little bit, you would know. So don't give me the shit that they can solve all the other problems. And exactly, that's, I think, the essence of your point right there. Like you're so excited to be back on the world stage. How about the disastrous year for our country? We've got life expectancy going down and suicides going up and the middle class being wiped out. But one of the reasons why I think, you know, and I've talked about this for years and years and years on this show, like years, like since the very beginning, where I've been saying basically that, you know, a lot of people get red pilled and then they cut the cord, or they just like, they're like, I'm done. I don't consume corporate news anymore. But I actually think that after you've been red pilled, it can be valuable to consume some of it, because they will tell you who they are. If you know to look for it, they'll tell you who you are. And while you can say that people like me, you know, I'm nuts because I was saying from the very fucking beginning in 2016 that the reason they hated Donald Trump was all about the wars. And this was really the reason that the whole corporate press and the deep state and the whole swamp hated Trump so much, is that he was talking about ending their wars. It wasn't mean shit he said about Mexicans. And if you listen to them, they will tell you who they are. Like as soon as Trump is out, or looks like Trump's going to be out, and they're celebrating the next guy coming in, what are they basically saying? I mean, okay, maybe they don't say it word for word, but it's right there. You don't have to read too far in between the lines to see. What are they saying? Oh, we're back. Biden just tweeted out the other day, America's back. We're back. We're done with this isolationism, you know, as if Trump was an isolationist, please. We wish. But like, yeah, we're done with this isolationism. We're back on the world stage. Well, what the fuck does this mean? We all know what this means. No, we're back. We're back on the path of fucking all of these crazy fucking wars. We're back on the path of being the empire unapologetically. I mean, Trump, by the way, it's so funny how much they hate Trump. His crime wasn't even ending the empire, or even coming anywhere close to ending the empire. His crime was that he didn't enthusiastically support it enough. And he would sometimes mention that it was stupid and that it was bad business and that we had nothing to show for it. That was his big crime. But so this is going to be, I think, in the long run, a real positive, that it's going to be so blatant, especially after the Trump years, and especially the fact that it's not just going to be like Obama to Trump. They're going to have to dial it way up for Joe Biden, because unlike Obama, Joe Biden cannot do it for himself. Joe Biden's, you know, Obama had tremendous powers of propaganda. He's an incredibly good public speaker. He's an incredibly likable person, incredibly persuasive. Joe Biden has none of that. So they're going to have to step up and do it for him. And coming right off of Donald Trump, off this unprecedented just attack on the president every single day, to switch right away to we praise everything about the president, is going to be a real opportunity for red pilling a lot of people. And it's going to be a real opportunity for the resistance to take its rightful form, which is the people who are resisting all of this. I like, honestly, I don't even care at this point if you're a perfect libertarian or not. I do not care about debating minarchy versus anarchy. I don't care about you being a 100%er, but I care, like, are you on team resist? Resist the state, resist the lockdowns, resist the CIA, the FBI, and resist all of these crazy wars. If you're on that team, we're teammates, you know. That's I think that should be the attitude of all normal people at this point. Like, let's try to pull people into that mind frame and then gently let them know that libertarians were right about all of this shit and that they should listen to what we have to say. Okay, That's our episode for today. Thank you all for listening. I love you all. Robbie the Fire Bernstein, I know you got your big fucking end of the year show coming up December 5th in Philly. Get psyched, everybody. Where can people go for tickets and information?
I got a link on robbiethefire.com, or just hit me up any social media place and I'll get you that link.
All right. Sounds good. And also, of course, check out Run Your Mouth, Rob Bernstein's other podcast. Follow him at Robbie the Fire on Twitter. I love you guys. That's all. See you next time. Peace.